Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, for healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. I'm so happy to give you this show today. And I'll tell you why. Because I know so much about this topic, it even blows me away. I'm not being facetious. I'm not being flattering to myself. It's just the fact that ever since I was a kid, I've been going to the gym. And from growing up in the streets of New York, where you needed to learn to go to the gym for all the things regarding strength that you had to learn in a gym, I was doing it. And then all my educations sent me back to the gym. And then my hobby sent me back to the gym. And all in all in all, over many, many years of going to the gym, really, I should name the show Confessions of a Gym Rat. And in a sense, honestly, I am a gym rat. I love gyms. I'm usually a member of three at the same time. And it's been like that for many, many years. I always found the money to go to the gym. I'd find the money for the gym before I'd find the money for rent half the time. And that is the truth. So today's show, Vital Concepts in Strength Training. Get out your notebooks. I really mean this. Why? Well, here's a deal. One of the things that everybody overlooks over the age of 50 is that your muscles are beginning to atrophy. And if you knew how many times I've had people in my office who can't stand, claim they're dizzy, they're simply not moving around the way they used to. They've got joint pains, they're up for joint replacements, so on and so forth. And really, all it ever comes down to, for so many people, and this is the point, is your muscles are disappearing. You have muscle atrophy. And you figure that out, and you end up in some sort of a training program. Some sort of, let me get my health back. You hire a sports trainer. You hit the old weight set in the garage. You take active steps because you've been at least wise enough to figure out that the problem is you don't have the muscles there anymore. And of course, and this is why I'm doing this show. This is one of the reasons. You make so many mistakes when you approach this. And that includes if you hire the sports trainers. You make so many mistakes that you're back to where you started from. And that's so depressing. And of course, we all know after the age of 60, what happens when things don't go right? You blame your age. Big myth. Don't blame your age. Many of you, the minute you don't feel well, the minute your muscles aren't what they used to be, the minute you just don't have the functions you used to have, of course, it's all about, well, you're older. And of course, we've got a whole medical industry there to confirm that for you, to back you up, to make you feel like you're not alone, to make you feel like you, well, can be comfortable at the fact that you're just not 18 anymore. This is bunko, largely. Yes, there is normal aging, yes, but it is greatly exaggerated on the backside of, well, you're older. It couldn't be the fact that you haven't changed the oil or the plumbing. You haven't gotten up and jogged around the track in 25 or 30 years. You live like a couch potato rather than an athlete with the time to train your body and respect what it can do for you if you feed it right. So you don't get that. What you get is you're older now. So a lot of us on the comeback trail in the gyms make mistakes. And when you pay the price of those mistakes, you blame your age. Get out your notebooks because you're not going to do this anymore. Not for at least 2018. First mistake you make, and let's get this one straight. Not just people over 60, people over 20. First mistake you make is when you get back to the gym and you start pumping iron or doing the calisthenics or whatever you're into, you have to build the thickness of the muscle. I didn't say you have to do more reps. When you take a weight and you do 5 repetitions and then you feel good about it, so you do 10 repetitions, and then you feel good about it, so you do 15 repetitions, and then you add sets. You know what I'm talking about. You get out that, okay, I'm just going to put it to you straight, ladies. Nothing gets me worse than watching you over the age of 60, over the age of 70, get out that 1 or 2 pound weight. It's disgusting. Some sports trainer at the YMCA gave you the 2 pound weight to work with. And you're there moving your 2 pound weights and you're all proud of yourself, hoping it's going to come back, which it's not. Because you're not going to build beans with a 2 pound weight. And you're doing your reps, and maybe you perspire a little, and you're looking in the mirror occasionally, or you're over at the Pilates class. Pilates is famous. They are famous for this ridiculous mistake. Not all Pilates places, but generally your Pilates places are typical of this mistake. You give a woman who needs, and men, you're right there with them. But I'm going to cite the ladies because it's more prevalent with the females. You finally realize that you can't stand up when you get out of the chair, or you can't get up the stairs, or your joints are killing you when you garden. And through some ordination from above, you realize that you can't do any of these things because you have no muscles left. And so you go to your Pilates place or your sports place. But I'm citing these Pilates places. And you're there bouncing around with your 2 or 3 pound weight. Look, this isn't bad, but you're making a mistake in that. For you, once you've achieved, once you've suffered from loss of muscle to the point where you don't have the strength to do the things you need to do, you have to strength train. Meaning, you have to make your muscles bigger and fatter. I'll tell you another little calamity around this. Women especially. You're all taught from the beginning that, God forbid, any exercise routine you do will make your muscles fat. They'll make them too thick. It'll make you look like a guy. The worst sin you can suffer is to look masculine when you want to build your feminine. And people, as they age, don't realize those rules don't apply anymore. You're not 18. So you're 70 years old and you can't stand up and you can't do the things you want to do. And somebody starts talking to you about thickening your muscles and it rings a bad bell in your head. But that was 40 or 50 years ago. Over the age of 50, you start thinking about increasing your strength. Why? Anything you do requires a certain amount of strength. If you're washing the clothes, it requires a certain amount of strength. And the minute the task that you give yourself, gardening, climbing the stairs, the minute the task that requires a certain amount of muscle thickness, muscle density, strength, you know, those 15-inch biceps popping out on your athletes, the minute it requires a certain amount of muscular strength, if you don't have the strength, the stress transmits to the joint. Lots of joint pain occurs because people don't have the size and thickness required in the muscle. This can happen to young people. Oh, yeah. Ladies with your kids. Kids need to be held. They need to be carried around. with the generation that we're culturing, kids at 8 years old want to be carried by their parents. That's all great, isn't it? I don't think so, but no doubt about it. We mollycoddle our children. It's the thing to do. We don't let them run out in the street because it's too dangerous. We organize play dates between moms. Things have changed. Definitely one thing that's changed is kids get mollycoddled for a long time. Mothers are carrying their kids around at 4 or 5 years old. I see it all the time. So you're a mom. Maybe you've had a couple already. You got the third one. It's going to be your last. And you're hanging on to it because some say those are the best years. And you don't have the strength anymore to carry that kid. How many moms have bad necks and bad arms and bad knees and low backs and they're young moms? That's why they don't have the strength anymore. Here's another one. You get back to the gym and you figure you're going to dip into your favorite repertoire of calisthenics. Because calisthenics are really cool. Because it goes back into the armed services when you were doing 100 push-ups a minute. Or you just decide that's what you know, because that's what you took in gymnastics class in high school, and so there you are. If you don't have the muscular strength to do the calisthenic, you'll blow out your joint. When you're lifting yourself, you see this in these cross-training places. And these jungle gyms, they've got a lot of these places, they're essentially jungle gyms, you know, they hang the nets up against the wall, and you climb the net like a monkey. It's a lot of fun. How about dance? You know how many of you are blowing out your joints when you dance? Because you don't have the muscles to move the body without stressing the joint. Now, there's about 5 or 6 examples of why you have to build strength in the joint. If you can get to the website, look at the pictures of the muscles at straighttalk.cc, not.com.cc, and that's straight talk with 2 T's, 1 word lowercase. If you can get to the website, look at the picture of a muscle. If you understand how to break it down, and I do, I can share with you so much wisdom. If you'll just understand the anatomy of the muscle. If you can't get to the website, get to the website. If you're on the website, listen to the show again. Definitely, this is one of those shows where you got to hit it twice. It's simple stuff, really. It's common sense, really, but it's a lot of stuff today. So what's the deal about this picture? Well, when we talk about a muscle, we're talking about a big chunk of beef. You can put your hands on your muscles. You eat steak. It's a chunk of beef. Well, if you ever look at steak, not hamburger meat, steak, especially those tougher types, you'll notice there's all sorts of fibers in there. You'll notice that the steak can be broken down if you do it, brisket. Now, there's a great example. I mean, nobody eats beef brisket or stew. Those of you who like the $2.99 cuts to make the stew. If you notice certain meats, the leaner meats, you can see strands of muscle. It's just strands or fibers of muscle. All right, if you got that, you're going to get this. When you say increase strength, what you're doing is not, so let's get this myth done with, you're not increasing the number of fibers. So you look at that piece of stew meat or rabbit. Rabbit is very fibrous, meaning you can see those individual rabbit fibers. But if you can see one fiber, what you call strength is not increasing the number of fibers. The number of fibers in the muscle is fixed. You got to get that. what you call strength is increasing the thickness of those fibers. So if you have 20 fibers and each fiber has no thickness, you don't have any strength. If you have 20 fibers, same number of fibers, but each fiber increases its thickness 50 times, you might be muscle bound and you may have much more strength. So when I say strength, it's about increasing the thickness of the fiber. When we say strength training, it means this. At some phase in your workout, you absolutely, definitely, definitively, with unanimity, must increase the amount of weight to the point where you can only do maybe 3-4 reps. And by the third or fourth rep, you're straining. You're just starting to strain. Strength training means you're pushing the amount of weight to the point where you're not going to last too long. So if you're taking, say, for your biceps, that's your, the muscle you show off when you put your hand on your head and you contract that muscle that pops out. The bicep as opposed to the tricep. That bicep, if you want to increase the strength of the bicep with a curl, let's say you warm up with 10 reps and you do a couple of sets with 10 reps at, let's get lady weight, say like 5 pounds. If you're 70 years old and you weigh 110 pounds, you're probably looking at 5 to 7 pounds. And let's say you're doing 10 reps with 5 pounds, and then you do another 10 reps with 5 pounds. And now you know you're on your last legs here. You take that 5 pounds up to 8 pounds or 9 pounds. Now that's too much weight, and you might only get 1 or 2 reps in. That's the concept. That's not necessarily what you're supposed to do. But the concept is you have to, towards the end of the workout on that particular muscle group or that particular exercise, you have to throw on enough weight to bring your repetition down to maybe 3 or 4 reps, and then maybe get a set or two with 3 or 4 reps. That's the concept. And if you follow that concept, yeah, you're going to have to get it specific to you, and you may need a sports trainer to do that. You might be able to dope it out yourself to do that. Although, really, you know, the real problem is over the age of 60, nobody wants to hire a sports trainer. We have such a horrible, horrible attitude towards people who are over 60 today. It's really disgusting. We have done something really wrong to put people over the age of 60 in the compromised images that we put them in today. And we are suffering because of it. And one example of this is, over the age of 60, no one's running over to Equinox to go work out with a sports trainer because there's usually a 40-year gap and there's absolutely no relationship. And if you're 70, forget it. Nobody over the age of 70. Of course, we have our wonderful exceptions. I hope you're an exception. This situation is stupid and ridiculous, and we all know the consequences of ending up old, unattended in a hospital today. It's worse than ever. It's sinful. I might say we should all join hands and create a revolution. It's bad. I live, eat, and sleep it every day for too many years. If you knew how bad you were being ripped off over the age of 70 when you're sitting in a hospital bed, if you knew how bad it was, there would be a revolution. And I'm not blaming the medical doctors. It is just the way it is for a composite of a lot of very good reasons. I don't want to get into it. But over the age of 70, no one works out and you need help because you don't know what you're doing. Yeah, some of the guys do. They were athletes and they learned their stuff. But ladies over the age of 70 in muscle atrophy, forget it. By the time you're 80, you're sick because you have no musculature left. None. And what do you think all those urine problems are? incontinence. You can't hold your urine, then you can't hold your feces. It begins with weak lower abs. And abs, most people over the age of 70 that start to tighten the abs herniate discs. They hurt themselves. That's how poorly they understand it. And so what do? You go to the YMCA and they treat you like an old lady and they completely screw up your routine. We ought to have people in their 20s and their 30s educated enough to know how to train people in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. And you see, with litigation the way it is, I promised I wouldn't get into this, but because of the litigation, nobody's going to tell you how to work out correctly. That's why you want to make a relationship with a sports trainer, relax them, tell them to hit you with it, but remember you're 70 and not 20, and you can pull this off. Sports trainers, if they're good, and there are enough that are good, are a valuable asset. You got to go out and get one. Get over your image issue and go find somebody to help you do some of the things I'm saying. Take the guidance from this show and activate with it. Do that for yourself. I have so much to cover today. All right. So, strength. You got to have strength. It's thickening the fiber, and it's done in some reasonable facsimile to what I just described. Increasing reps with 2 pounds is not strength. Bringing it up to where you're almost uncomfortable, you can barely get to the fourth rep, is strength. I'll leave that there. That's number one. Let's keep going. All right, the next part of this game here. The tendon. Great story years ago in Joe Weider's magazine. Weider, Wider. Remember Muscle and Fitness? I lived with that magazine for years. I don't anymore. It's garbage now. But back when Joe was alive and you had some of these guys that would write in. One guy was Vic Hatfield. And he had a PhD in exercise phys. This guy knew his stuff. Well, he tells a story. This must go back to the 80s. He tells a story. This is Vic Hatfield in Muscle and Fitness years ago in the 80s. I'm in my 20s, and I'm reading this great article where he's in Studio City. Now, he's a big power lifter. He's the old school. He's going to crush your skull for the sins you commit. And he's in Studio City, and he's observing. He notices that someone's being mugged. Someone's being robbed. And he sees this enacted, and he's old school, so he's going to sprint across the street. Now, the guy's in shape. He's riding for Muscle and Fitness, and he takes off and lurches across the street, and he tears both tendons of his hamstrings. He tears the tendon of the hamstring. Again, I don't remember if it was one or two. But he hurt himself bad. He avulsed the tendon on one or both of his hamstrings. Now, the tendon's where the muscle connects to the bone. And the tendon is what a guy as educated as Vic Hatfield and all your bodybuilder guys, your Schwarzeneggers, your Columbos, all these guys don't do this. They all screw this up. This is screwed up everywhere. I mean, everywhere, except the Kung Fu guys, the Shaolin monks. Your martial artists, especially the Kung Fu Shaolin type, get this. Everybody else blows it. Your American athletes, that's what I've got for you guys. This goes over your head so bad that you lose half your careers because you don't listen to what I'm about to tell you. And if you're over 50 or 60 and you don't do this, you screwed up big time. What you don't do is train and thicken and strengthen the tendon versus the muscle. You don't orient your workouts to strengthen the tendon without focusing so much on the muscle. Everybody focuses on the muscle because the muscle is what gives you the aesthetics. I mean, you know how many people are standing there in gyms looking at their muscles. I don't get it. I never got that one. I hate mirrors. But lots of people are into them. Everyone's looking at themselves in these gyms. And then there are people, remember when you'd go out when you were in your teens and there'd always be some guy looking at his reflection in the window to see if his muscles were popping? I mean, this is the culture we're in. You're not interested in the art of it. You're interested in how you look. And so all the emphasis goes to the muscle. How big is the muscle? And you forget the tendon. That is a massive mistake. Massive mistake. The strength you want, the explosive power you want, the agility you want, everything you want comes from strengthening the tendon. Now, there's an overlap. To strengthen the tendon means you're strengthening the muscle. To strengthen the muscle means you're strengthening the tendon. But, so there's overlap. But you can also slant your workout, and this is what people don't know how to do. They don't know how to do this. Now, a group that knows how to do this are the Kung Fu guys. Shaolin monks. Go on YouTube, print in Shaolin monk, and look at the things these guys do. And understand and rest assured that whatever these guys are packing, you should have a piece of. You should be learning this. There should be Shaolin people all over America teaching Americans how to do these things. Because it comes from respecting the tendon. The tendon in Chinese medicine is an organ because the tendon and the liver are the same organ. And if you don't keep the tendons flexible and supple and moist, you damage your organs. That's how sophisticated these sciences are as it relates to Eastern medicine. We have no clue about this. You think your football players understand this? Your boxers understand this? We are boob-stricken in America regarding how we train our athletes. Truly, I don't care. Olympians, all of you, you are ignorant. So what does that leave you at 70 years old and you were in the Girl Scouts? And you know about as much about lifting weights and strength training and getting healthy as Betty Crocker. I mean, honestly. Yeah, I know none of this is important, right? Of course it's important. Because you're 70 and you're atrophied almost to the bone. Or your muscles are just made of puff. And you don't understand that your diseases are derived from that. The musculoskeletal system has an intimate relationship with the physiology of the organ. The musculoskeletal system has an intimate relationship with the physiology of the organ. You can't get around disease without dealing with the musculoskeletal system. So this emphasis on the muscle versus the tendon, bad mistake. Now, some variation of this, then, has to be transferred to your workout. And that means when you take your weight and you do whatever exercise you're going to do with your weight. I don't care what it is, 5 pounds or 10 pounds or 2 pounds or 15 pounds. You have to start from an extremely extended position. I'll give you an example. You know those machines, everyone knows those machines. You sit down on them and you put your arms up and out behind these two levers and then you bring your hands together and it contracts your breast muscle, your pectoralis muscle. You know how you work your pecs on those machines where you sit on them? You sit on a bench, a seat, and you stick your arms out and behind and you slip your arms behind these two pads, and then you bring your arms together, and the weight system, the square blocks of weight go up on that pulley system in your Nautilus or your Universals, you know what I'm talking about. If you sit in that chair and bring your arms back, what you're supposed to do is bring your arms so far back, you're stretching your pecs. If you're going to do a bicep curl, you have to start from an extremely extended state. If you're going to do a chin-up, you have to be hanging from the bar to the point where you feel your lats really stretch. If you're going to do a push-up, you have to do a push-up from a position almost like a dip, where your whole body is dipped down low, but your arms are placed up high. Any muscle you contract has to begin the contraction from the position that's really stretched out the muscle you're about to contract. That's as close as I can get you to it. The best example, if I had to pick one that I think most of you are familiar with, would be a bicep curl or that pec contraction. You've got to do that from an extremely extended state. If you're going to curl up your arm to do a bicep curl, it's got to start from a point where you're almost stretching out your bicep. Now, if you start from an extremely extended state, when you begin your contraction, that first 5-10% of the contraction really builds the tendon. You can take this to the point where you can do exercises where you pump the tendon. Pumping the tendon is the process through which you begin the contraction, but you only take it 10%, and then you let it extend out all the way, and only take it 10% and extend out all the way, and 10% extend it all the way. And then you can do that against resistance. So if you were sitting down and you put your arms out, snuck them underneath those pads that you're about to bring your arms together with so you contract your pecs, if you were to just bring them together 10% and let them drop back to their extended state and keep doing that 5 or 10 times, if you do that, you strengthen the tendon and you barely touch the muscle. So the ratio of strength, and definitely the ratio of power, power has to do with the acceleration of the contraction. Those ratios go way on the side of the tendon because you're stressing the tendon in the contraction. Now, what's the opposite of that? You ever see those people who do those chin-ups and they only go halfway down and then they come up again? That's the mistake I'm talking about. You ever see somebody do curls, and instead of straightening the arm and contracting, they bring their arm down halfway and contract again? You ever see someone do a push-up, and they only go halfway down instead of all the way down and lower than that? There's a million ways to cheat the tendon. Cheating the tendon, rather than putting the stress on the tendon, is the way most of us work out. Drastic mistake. Why? Because if you thicken the tendon and don't focus on the muscle, you become tendinous. Your body becomes powerful because the tendons are thickening because you're stressing the tendon. The part of the muscle that becomes the tendon gets way more of the stress, so that thickens. The tendon thickens in addition to the fact the tendon gets stretched, and the tendon learns to coordinate a rapid contraction. Can you see how a bodybuilder, someone that's just interested in the muscle, can you see how an ignorant bodybuilder or someone that just cheats all the time would build the muscle? And could you see the potential catastrophe then of taking off in a sprint like Hadfield did? Only he had a doctorate. He was a very knowledgeable guy, but he didn't understand this yet. After he tore, then he understood. And the whole article was about strengthening the tendon. Of course,
The Chinese, in the Shaolin tradition and Kung Fu, have done this for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. These are really key concepts. All right, so build thickness to the muscle. Consider that. Consider that it's not about reps, it's about thickness. If you're atrophied, men, ladies, over 60, you're atrophied. You got to think about the amount of strength you put into the muscle against the tasks. You want to run around with your grandson, and he's 4 years old, and he likes to go up on your shoulders? You better have some strength. Grandma, you want to get out there and prune the roses this year and carry those stacks of bush to the garbage? You got to have some muscular. Over the age of 75, if you don't want to get blown down by the wind, lots of people, you think I'm kidding, get blown down by the wind. Lots of people over the age of 75 fall and break their hips. And they fall because they don't have balance. And they think they don't have balance because they're dizzy. How many times people say, I'm dizzy, I'm this, I'm that? No, you're not. You have no strength in your legs. Did you ever see somebody get up off a chair over the age of 75 and you pray for them? Right? You know what I'm talking about. We just went through the holidays. You saw the elderly in your congregation stand up out of the pew at Mass or the seat at the house, and they look like they're going to tip over. That's what I mean. And then add high heels to that, and then you should pray for them. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. I give it to you straight every Saturday. The inside stuff. More than 25 years for me. An education, academically, formally, and informally, that never ended. It just never ended. And I ask myself, why do we still have so many sick people? Why do so many people fail in the holistic medicine? Why do we have such poor compliance? Why, even if we have compliance, people spin in circles? A big part of it is you don't understand the concepts. You just want the herb, the cleanse, quick and easy. I'm too busy. Sorry, you don't get it. You don't get away with this. You don't get away with it. This is the show that asks you to get on the website, straighttalk.cc, and learn. You need to learn. I predict, and I am right, I will not be wrong, over 30 years. We don't start learning, we perish. We will perish as a nation. We are too sick. I look at the bone structure of young people today. Nobody has any bones anymore. You may have muscles, you don't have bones. Bones come out of the soil. You don't get good bone structure eating the food we eat. It's an issue. You old timers out there with bone structure because you got that farm food, you look at the 20-year-olds today. They just don't have it in the bones. They may be rough kids. They may have some muscle, but they don't have it in the bones. The bone of the organism is where it generates its power from. This gets overlooked all the time. It gets overlooked all the time in athletics. We may break records today because we've got some percentage of the population that's just super healthy. Some people do have bone structure. And psychologically, you break records based on what the last guy did. We may break more records, but predominantly we are producing, instead of bone, we're producing toilet paper. People don't have bones anymore. They have this soft, mushy stuff. Do not doubt me on this. You can't produce strong bone. What do I mean? I mean two things. One, a lot of reserve stem cell potential in the marrow. Number two, the cortical thickness. Very small increases in the thickness of the bone, of the cortical section of the bone, the compact bone, we say. Very small increases account for a massive increase in power. And that thickness in the cortical p- part of the bone is something you're born with. Yeah, you can make it a little tougher or harder, but you can't make it thicker. How thick it is derives from the strength of the parents, and that derives from the strength of the soil. And that's another thing to understand. We have cultures, because we're talking about vital concepts and strength training. Strength being how much you can move. Power being how much you can move at an increasingly accelerated rate. There's strength, there's power, there's endurance. When you're thinking about vital concepts, you're thinking about how much strength do I have? Meaning, is the muscle fiber thick enough for me to lift this vault off the floor? If you're thinking about power, you're thinking about, I'm not only going to lift it, but I'm going to throw it across the street, which means I have to accelerate my motion through an increased rapid contraction. And then endurance, how many times can I do it before I'm either out of breath or the muscle fatigues? Well, power and bone have a lot to do with each other. And bone is developed in two ways. One is your genes. That means generationally, you're transferring the thickness of the bone based on the fertility of the soil. Let's leave it alone because it's kind of fixed. But did you see that Ben Affleck movie recently where he plays, it's called The Accountant? Yeah, some of you saw that. And remember in the movie, he's always beaten his dad is a real, you know, military guy, very hardcore. He wants his sons, especially since his son is different. He doesn't want his son to get picked on, so he insists on teaching his son, like, the hardcore martial arts. So the kid's only 8, 7 years old, and he's practicing martial arts on the level of a black belt. And one thing Ben Affleck, who's the son, is always doing in the film is beating the hell out of his shins with something like a baseball bat. The Shaolin guys do this too, because it thickens and strengthens the cortical bone. The compact bone gets harder and more resilient when you keep tapping it with a stick. Only you take that stick to the point where if you did it to somebody else, it would break their bones. Their ribs would break. Their shins would break. But you're still beating your bones with this stick-like formation of wood or steel. They use different types of elements to do this with. Bone and strength of bone and flexibility of bone is something in Shaolin, in Eastern medicine, you consider. As you age, the bone gets brittle. Yes, this is somewhat related to hormone, which is Jing, which has nothing to do with what you think hormones are. Jing is another consideration, far more profound than anything we even scratch the surface of as it relates to hormones. But by and large, what you got less of at 70 that you had at 20 is the hormonal strength or the Jing of the bone. Yes, that's a factor. But if over your lifetime you cultivate the strength of the bone, you cultivate the fluidity of the marrow, you keep your bones flexible, you keep your bones thick, you keep your bones capable of growing tendon on the bone sufficient to generate dynamic force when you execute task. And that task may be throwing your grandson up in the air. It may be lifting up the car while you jack up and change the wheel, pulling logs in your garden as you fix your garden, or it might just be the sport you're in love with. Either way, you stand to be then 80 years old with one hell of a physique. And that's the way you should be thinking. You know, as a culture, we're all getting older. You know, 40 is the new 60, or 60 is the new 40. 80 is the new 50. However you want to look at it, statistically, we're following the Japanese, who were, they probably still are, the oldest culture in the world. There's more old people in Japan proportionally. Now, this is not true of India. This is not true of China. Something to think about. We have a mass infusion into the world market of 20-year-old Chinese and Indians who are hungry for success. And what this country is sitting back on is a bunch of 70 and 80-year-olds who are thinking about sitting in a chair and eating Twinkies. This is bad. And it's going to force a revolution in the older age categories, because I can tell you, no one at 60 is thinking they're old. No one at 70 is ready to sit in a chair like Grandpa. It's not like when we were kids. And that's good. But we've got to have the education, or we're not going to get the results. It's going to be false expectations because we don't know what we're doing. Thicken and strengthen the tendon. Thicken the fiber of the muscle so you have enough strength. Have a concept of strength of bone. At least have the concept. Now go and roll with that. Don't call in here and say, okay, now what do I do? Don't do that. This show is for you to take a hook and go out and study yourself. My job's to point you in the right direction. You have to do some work. So start to get friendly with this concept of bone. Now, alignment. This is why you have to be flexible. Because if you can't put the bones where the bones need to be by shifting your alignment because you're flexible enough, then you cannot generate power. We call this form. You danced, remember form? You played tennis, you golf, you yacht, you boxed. Well, there was this concept of form. Why did we hire a trainer? Why did we need a trainer? They would look at our form. Think about it. Your trainer would talk to you about how to shift your body to execute the task, right? Swimming, golf, tennis, dance, form. You know what form is? Flexibility. If you don't have the flexibility in the tendon, then you can't shift the alignment to follow the form. And if you can't follow the form, you cannot execute the task with elegance and power. Look at that. Think about that. Think about how big that is. So what are these football players and basketball players and baseball players and boxers and hockey players and this and that and the other thing? What are they doing? They're not stretching. They have no concept of form except when their trainers yell at them to have form. I remember this in boxing. It was always your form is off, your form is off. Of course your form is off. You either don't have the strength or you don't have the flexibility to listen to the trainer's advice about how to shift the form. This gets missed all the time. Flexible people, if they have enough strength, flexible people, if they built their tendon, are like leopards. What am I talking about? I'm talking about Bruce Lee. I'm talking about Kung Fu. I'm talking about the Shaolin guys. They build the tendons. They always have enough muscle and flexible. Just look at some of the pictures I've put on my show. The Shaolin guys will astound you with their levels of flexibility. They understand how to put it together. I don't know about just eating white rice all day, so the claim. I got to look into that one. But these guys have it covered. So flexibility to get alignment. So thicken the tendon. So thicken the individual fiber sufficient to execute the task. An auto mechanic, a 50-year-old auto mechanic that's always got joint problems. As you watch him in his task, he thinks because he's been doing it 20 years, he's got enough strength to use that wrench effortlessly. He doesn't. He needed thicker muscles to execute the task, but he thought repetition over 10 or 20 years would give him the strength. It doesn't. You yogics who can't hang a pose correctly, and you think you're going to get handstand or crow to handstand. You think you're going to get it down because you just keep doing it, and you've been trying for 15 years, and you can't, and your teacher's telling you, just hang in there. No, you need to cross-train into something that allows you to build the thickness of the muscle. Is this not fascinating? I love these subjects. Go on for hours with these subjects. Now, why am I always yakking about cross-fiber? Cross-fibering across the muscle. Because if you look at some of the cross-sections I threw out on the site, picture one, picture two, picture three, just stick to picture two and three where it says endomysium and epimysium. Endomysium, epimysium, stupid words. Paramecium, I remember all this nonsense from anatomy. Ah, these people. Anatomists, what do they do? I mean, what they do is amazing, but all these words, instead of laying it out functionally, whether they call it epimysium, endomysium, paramecium, those are the fascial lines. That's the fascial lines that compartmentalize the muscle. Guess what? Each band of fibers rolls over the other band of fibers. It's the way the muscle's supposed to be. It rolls over and glides over its other component muscle fibers because of the fascia. So if you look at the picture, and that's what you really got to do to get this right. But the compartmentalization of the muscle. If you take your bicep, cut it off, look at it down the pipe, meaning look at it at the beginning of the cross section, you'll see the muscle is compartmentalized. It's in groups or bundles of fiber. Those bundles are separated from other bundles by fascia. Thus, paramecium, epimecium, endomecium, so on and so forth. The point is, those separations are there so the individual fibers can glide. Guess what an adhesion is? Guess what an adhesion is? Guess what a scar is? It's when the fascial fibers, now the fascia, not muscle, when the fascial fibers kink up and individual muscle fibers can't glide because of the adhesions in the fascial lines. Guess what happens then when you contract a muscle into the tendon when you're all snagged up? You get a bad contraction. So you don't contract well because you're all snagged up. And guess what? You don't stretch well because you're all snagged up. So a lot of you out there at 50, 60, 70, you're so bound with adhesion that your return on your weight training, your sport training, any training is poor because you're a mass of adhesion and you're very, at that point, poorly aligned. And that has to be factored in. This, what I'm talking to you about, is gold. You understand this is gold. You understand this is not understood. This has not been well integrated, and it's critical for you because at 50 or 60 or 70, you're not content to sit there without teeth smoking a corncob pipe. Growing a mustache. You understand? Most 70-year-old women I know want and to keep their feminine. You know, it's almost hilarious. People come in and they have health concerns that are serious, but they're concerned about that little mustache they're starting to grow. The number one leading concern for female health today is those little black hairs you get after the age of 70. It's not the brain tumor or the breast cancer or the replaced hip or this. It's that. And I don't just mean women. We have a generation, and it's not a bad thing. I'm teasing it, but it's not a bad thing. It's built on I'm 70 and I want vibrance. Listen up then. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. I guess I'll do it now. If you're lost in the labyrinth and you need counsel, you need to be put in the right direction, you have health concerns you want straightened out, you want to be given a program specific to you so you can go work. If you're ready to work, If you're sick and tired of the Park Avenue nonsense claims that people make about how you're going to get your health back in 2 months, if you want to work at it and do it solid, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. That's all, folks. Yeah, don't start it yet. Don't start the music yet, Joel. Next week, I go to a half an hour show. I'm going to give it to you even straighter because I have less time. Next week, we go to a half an hour show. Next week, make sure that you're ready to absorb at lightning fast speed. And if you can't do it, go to my website. You can listen to the show again and again and again and again. Those of you interested in the school, if I see you on my website and I know that you're listening and you're getting some education, expect a call. That's who I'm gathering because I can't talk to people that have never listened to the show before. You just got to get used to the show or it'll be a waste of your time. I can't move to second base if you're not on first base already. So just be patient with yourself. All right. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.